Praise God. We just got through a season of the year that we didn't celebrate in Jamaica. We didn't have it in Jamaica. We didn't have it, you know, basically any place in the world except the United States of America. Canada also has their holiday, but it's at a different time than ours. That holiday I'm talking about is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, and I want to talk about Thanksgiving a little bit today. Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving is a very good thing. There's lots in the Bible about giving thanks. About us giving thanks, the benefits of giving thanks, and how great it is to give thanks, and that's an appropriate response we have to many things in our lives. But did you know, in the Bible, there is a downside to giving thanks? Did you know? I'm going to be talking today about the downside of giving thanks. Am I ready to be stoned yet? There is a downside to giving thanks. Now, I'm going to be speaking from a certain passage in the Scripture, and I'm not going to tell you where it is yet. See if you can guess what it is I'm talking about. Is there ever anything wrong or inappropriate about giving thanks? What could be wrong about expressing gratitude to God? God, I thank you. Could that ever be inappropriate? Could there ever be anything wrong? Could that be somehow not the best thing? Well, what is wrong about being grateful that I am not a robber? I'm not a thief. Is it wrong? What could be bad about giving thanks to God that I am not a robber? I'm not a thief. There are people in the world who resort to stealing for all sorts of reasons. Is it a bad thing for me to thank God that that is not something I have done? How about, what could be wrong about giving thanks to God that I am not an adulterer? That I don't sleep around with many women? And I could point my fingers to all sorts of prominent men as well as not so prominent men who aren't above behaviors like that. Could it be anything wrong about me thanking God that that is not where I am? Is there anything bad about thanking God that I'm not a corrupt government official? You know, there are some people who use their political power, their power as a person with the authority of the government behind them to do some bad things, to enrich themselves, to oppress others. There are some people who do that. Is there a bad side to not Or to being thankful to God that I'm not one of those kind of people. Somebody's music is going off here. Okay. What could be wrong about thanking God that I'm not an evil doer? Is that a bad thing? Is there anything wrong with thanking God that I am able and I do participate in religious activities that are positive? For example, giving to the church. Is that something that I should not be thanking God for? I would say no. Every single one of these is a perfectly good thing to thank God for. We can thank God for all of these things. For giving to the church, for praying, for, dare I say it, fasting. All the fact that we are able to participate and that we do participate in these things, I would say there is nothing wrong with thanking God for these things. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is a good thing that we are able to thank God for all of these things. I am truly grateful that I have never used heroin. I am truly grateful. There is an epidemic in this country where people are dying in great numbers from heroin and other opiates. People who come from great families, people that you would never suspect would have an issue with heroin. I am truly grateful that's never happened to me. And I believe it is appropriate for me to give thanks to God for these things. I also give thanks to God, for example, that I don't use profanity. I used to. There was a period of time in my life, as an adolescent, where I wanted to show to the world that I was not a goody-two-shoes. And, in Jamaica, which is where I grew up, all of the swear words that you hear in America, we had every single one of those. And we had a whole vocabulary of our own as well. We had a great palette of profanity that we could access, and I considered it an art form to be able to construct powerful profanity for various situations. That is not a good thing. And I am grateful, I truly am grateful, that is not something that I have to resort to, that I do resort to anymore. The Bible says whatever we say is supposed to be for the edification of others, and I cannot see how using profanity can serve that purpose. It just doesn't make sense to me. These things are not a part of my life, and some of these things have never been a part of my life, and I am grateful to God for that, and I believe that is appropriate. It is appropriate because I have been spared many consequences that have befallen others because of these behaviors. You know, many times testimonies I hear in church are very much like this, that we give thanks, and I think it's a good thing, it's a positive thing, that we give thanks to God for what He has brought me from, and that I am no longer like that. And I also think it's a positive, good thing when we can give thanks to God that we've never done some of those things. This is a good thing. But you know something? There is one thing that it is not good for. There is one thing that giving thanks for all of these things, which is a positive thing, that it does not accomplish. There's one thing it does not accomplish. It does not justify us. I want to now turn to the passage of Scripture from which I am speaking. Luke chapter 18. I've already covered the first point of my sermon before even looking at this passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 is where we are starting from. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. This is from the New International Version. It says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray." Is there anything wrong with going to the temple to pray? No, they're both doing something good. One a Pharisee and one a tax collector. Let's look first of all at the Pharisee. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, like robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector." A tax collector, by the way, was someone who was officially appointed by the Roman government for the task of collecting taxes from a people in a certain area that they were responsible for. Is there anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. However, many people who, they had a lot of power. These tax collectors could, if they said, "You owe me $500, they had no recourse whatsoever to say, "No, that's too much. I don't know how you're getting to that number." Does not matter. The tax collector will exact that tax just because they believe that's what's appropriate. And many times, tax collectors, people didn't like having their money taken from them for taxes. Even today, no matter how legitimate it is, you know, my youngest son recently got his first real-life, full-time job in the marketplace. And he makes more money than I've ever made in my life. He got his first paycheck. And he goes, "Whoa! Look how much they're taking out of my paycheck for taxes." It shocked him. He doesn't like doing that. I don't like how much money gets taken out of my paycheck either. Imagine if, in addition to that, people with all this power to take as much money as they thought necessary could do that, and you know what? They could keep a percentage of what they collect as their payment for doing this job. Now do you see why people had bad feelings about tax collectors? This Pharisee was grateful that he was not like this tax collector here. Let me ask you this, is there anything wrong with giving thanks to God that he's not like robbers, not like evildoers, not like adulterers, not like tax collectors. Has he done anything wrong so far? I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. Is there something wrong about this Pharisee giving thanks to God that he did? He was faithful in giving the tenth of his income. I almost feel tempted to ask, how many people here give a tenth of their income to God? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to embarrass you. This Pharisee was doing that. I believe that's a perfectly valid standard in the Bible for how we are to manage our money, stewardship of what God has given us. This Pharisee was doing that. He was thanking God that he was doing what God had actually commanded. Where is his fault so far? What is the problem? What is the downside? By the way, that's all he said. Everything the Pharisee said was all about giving thanks to God for these things. Let's look at what comes next. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's all the tax collector said. He did not thank God for all the things that he didn't do. He didn't thank God for all the things that God had already delivered him from, and I'm sure there were many of those. The fact that he was alive right then, God had already shown him mercy. God had already brought him through many things. Did he mention that at all? No. The only thing he said was, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is what Jesus' conclusion is. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. One thing that giving thanks does not accomplish is that we aren't justified before God for giving thanks. It does not result in our justification to God. I will say this, when I am justified before God, I will give thanks. But it happens after the fact. It does not cause God to justify me. If our goal is to gain standing with God, if our goal is to be justified before Him, giving thanks to God will not work to accomplish that goal. That's the downside of giving thanks. It does not make us any more worthy to stand in God's presence. It is not a good deed that we can do that impresses God. You know, sometimes I believe we think that if I give God enough thanks, that it's going to somehow count. It'll give me brownie points before God. And I can say, God, you should really, you know, do some more for me because you know how much I give thanks to you. I'll give you even more thanks. Isn't that what you want? No. Giving thanks to God does not impress him. He enjoys it. He appreciates it, our gratitude, but it does not impress him. We do not earn brownie points before God. We are not justified to stand in his presence because we give thanks. What does work? What did the tax collector, the publican, do that did result in his justification? Well, it says that he did not even look to heaven when he spoke. What are we doing when our heads are bowed? When we don't even want to look? Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they couldn't even look you in the eye? What does that mean? Sometimes it's because we feel such shame. Sometimes it's because we feel like, wow, I just do not belong here. To look you in the eyes, all I can see is how I've hurt you, how unworthy I am to deserve your positive attention. I believe that's what was going on. Approaching God with an attitude that I deserve nothing from you. I believe that was part of what the tax collector did that resulted in his justification. Another thing he did is he beat his breast. What good does that do? What is beating our breast? What on earth is that about? That was a way of showing remorse. I mean, it almost sounds like self-flagellation. There are some religious traditions where people beat themselves, whip themselves, cause themselves pain, sometimes as a way of gaining favor to God. Well, he wasn't trying to gain favor from God by torturing himself. He was just showing, oh man, I feel so terrible. He was letting himself feel the sorrow and the guilt for his sin. Letting himself feel the sorrow and the guilt. You know, we don't like to let ourselves feel sorrow and guilt for our own actions. We try to escape that. This tax collector in the temple was letting it happen. I don't believe the sorrow and the guilt itself justified him, but the fact that he was facing reality for what was really true about himself and God, that's what let the door open for God to justify him. And another thing he did is that he asked for mercy. Asked for mercy. He was pleading for a response from God that was the opposite of what he knew he deserved. He knew that what he deserved was only suffering, exclusion. And he was pleading with God for mercy. God, please don't give that to me. Please don't give me what I deserve. Instead, show me mercy. Give me something positive, even though I don't deserve it. Please, God, please. That's what the tax collector did. And those are the three things he did that resulted in him being justified before God. I really want to impress on you, the only thing the Pharisee did was give thanks to God. All the things he was giving thanks to God for were absolutely positive, good things. But he did not leave that building justified. What was the problem with the gratitude that he expressed? Well, Jesus sort of explained it a little bit. He said, "For I tell you, for all those who exalt themselves shall be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." The Pharisees' expression of gratitude, Jesus revealed, was nothing more than him exalting himself. See, gratitude can be a disguise. Gratitude can be a disguise for us exalting ourselves. God, I thank you that I'm not like I used to be. I used to be a horrible, rotten sinner, but thank you, Jesus, that I am not that way now. Sounds perfect. It is a good thing for us to give thanks to God for that, but it can be a disguise for, look how great I am now. Look how wonderful a human being I am right now. God, you know, it's been 20 years since I drank a drop of alcohol. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing wrong with not drinking alcohol for 20 years. Nothing wrong with thanking God for that. But if we are exalting ourselves, if that is a disguise for us exalting ourselves, the one thing that gratitude will not accomplish is being justified before God. It may impress many people. Many people may come to you and say, "Oh, wow, that is a great testimony that you have. It is wonderful. And tell me more. I want to be more like you. Can you help me be more like you are?" Why, sure I can. It can easily be a disguise for us exalting ourselves. We spend our time focusing on what God has already done for us. When we do that, we lose sight of where we still are. It is a great thing that God has done wonderful things for us in the past, but the question is, how about now? How about now? The reality is, right now, I am still a sinner in need of the grace of God. Right now, that is the opportunity for God's justification. When I just focus on, oh, it's great what God has done for me in the past, and that's my focus, I will not leave the building justified. Gratitude can be, we can end up looking down on other people and actually seeing ourselves as morally superior. There was a period in my life when I did a lot of self-reflecting, and I, for the first time in my life, realized that I had engineered my whole life. I had seen the whole world for years through the lens of, I am morally superior to that person, to that person, to this group of people, to this church, to that church. The question is, how do I prove that? How do I get them to see that? How do I get them to admit it? Because that's when they can be saved. They can realize that what I have done, what I believe, and the way I obey God is what they need to do too. And when they do that, they'll be saved. I really believed that was, I mean, that was my worldview. I truly saw myself as morally superior, but then some things happened that made me think, wow, I'm not really what I should be. I can't dare let anybody see it, because that would ruin my whole spiel. Can't dare let anybody see that. Well, and so it was very painful for me to go through the process of realizing that about myself. And when I was kind of openly sharing my thoughts about this with someone that I've known for many years, and I shared the fact that, you know, seeing ourselves as morally superior really is a form of pride, and we're really no better off than anybody else, this person said to me, well, what about the people who actually are morally superior than others? I did not respond to him, but I'm glad he said that, because it showed to me that that truly is what many Christians believe. That we Christians really are morally superior. And what we need to do is to demonstrate that to other people. Giving thanks can be nothing more than a disguise for parading our moral superiority. And you know what? People don't like that when they see that. I used to be very puzzled. Why, when I shared the gospel with somebody, why they weren't impressed? I was puzzled as to why all these people would say that Christians are judgmental. We're not trying to judge anybody. We're sharing the truth about what God has done for me and what He can do for you, what He should do for you. If you would do what I did, why are they feeling judged? Sometimes expressions of gratitude for what God has done us really is a disguise for exalting ourselves. When we do that, we do not leave the room justified before God. We may get other things. We may feel good. Nothing wrong with that. And whatever righteousness the Pharisee had before that, he had the exact same amount of righteousness after that. Whatever standing he had before God, before he went into that room, was the exact same thing he left with. If we want to be justified before God, we need to do something different. We need to recognize, we need to shine the light on, we need to emphasize, we need to show that we're still sinners. And I'm still in need of the grace of God. And I still, my hope, only hope, is to still plead for mercy from God. And I am no different than anybody else who needs that. You know, the Pharisee, and I really believe this, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, described himself as a Pharisee. He said, I am a Pharisee. In fact, he said, I am a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And I believe he thought that was a good thing. Even when he wrote that. Why do I say that? A Pharisee, they were the group of people who believed the right things. There were other Jews who had mixed God's word with Greek philosophy and other religions and kind of concocted some different kind of religion. The Pharisee said, no, what does the Bible say? What does God say? And one of the distinctive beliefs that the Pharisees were known for is that they believed in the resurrection of the dead. You know what? I believe in the resurrection of the dead too. Paul believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees believed the right things. They read the Bible and they saw that God said you need to give a tenth of everything you earn to God. There were many people then, like there are today, who look at that and say, that's really kind of unreasonable. That there are other ways that we can be good. There are other things we can do to show God that we're helping out. But the Pharisees looked at that and said, you know what? God said it. I believe it. I'm going to do it. The Pharisees believed the right things, and they looked around and they said, we're actually doing these things. What is everybody else doing? Not what I'm doing. The Pharisee did not believe he even needed justification. The Pharisee did not receive justification because he did not think he needed it. Sometimes I wonder if there are Christians who are in that very same boat. I received justification 20, 30, 50 years ago. Thank you, Jesus. I don't need no justification now. Well, if we don't need it, guess what? We're not going to get it. But if we are still sinners, and if we humbly let ourselves feel the sorrow that comes with that when we stand before the Almighty God, if we let ourselves feel that, and if we ask God for mercy, we will leave this room justified. We can only experience justification when we realize who we really are, when we ask God for mercy, for grace. I was puzzled for a long time when Paul encouraged us to grow in grace. And I've heard many people who refer to that as becoming, grow in how wonderful a Christian we are and how great a person we are because we have been shown grace. Grace is in the past. Growth is in the now and in the future. And that's what that means. I don't think that's what Paul was saying. I think Paul was saying we need to grow in grace. Grace is only shown to sinners. The only way we can be justified is to be someone in need of justification. The only time mercy is shown is to people who deserve something worse. We grow in grace by realizing on a deeper and deeper level how much we actually need His grace and ask Him for it. You know, God will work with us on whatever level we want to. If we say, you know, I did something really, really bad so many years ago. God, I need your grace for that. He will forgive you of that. And the truth is, there's probably even more right now that we're still doing that we don't even see. That He wants to show us grace for. But He's going to work with us wherever we are. Wherever we want Him to work with us. God is, you know, He's not only willing to show us grace, He is eager. It's not something we have to force God into, to ask Him for His mercy. We don't have to plead and somehow convince Him to give us mercy. He is on the edge of His seat waiting for the opportunity to give us more grace, to give us mercy. You know, the one thing I notice when I read the parable of the prodigal son, there's so many things that that parable does not say that I hear Christians talk about it and it sounds like they assume this really was true, but it's not in the Bible. For example, the prodigal son, we all know the bad stuff he did, right? Took his father's money, went and spent it on everything, and really his life was ruined. It does say he came to himself. What does that mean? It doesn't necessarily say he realized what he did was wrong. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he decided to repent from his deeds. Does not say that. It does not say that he was sorry for what he did. Does not say that. But people assume that that was true. All it says is that he realized his father's servant had it better than he did. I'm suffering and I need a job. I just need to survive, and I know my dad is a pretty good employer. I just don't want to die. I don't want to starve. Doesn't say he was willing to admit what he did wrong. Doesn't say he was returning to beg his dad for forgiveness. He just wanted a job. All of those things were to come later, I'm sure. But it says that his dad saw him in the distance. And he was joyful. He said, he interrupted his son's speech and said, you know what? That fatted calf, let's celebrate. Let's throw a huge party because my son is home. He just wanted to show grace. He wanted to show mercy. And whatever level his son was willing to get, let that happen. That's the kind of God that we're dealing with. He wants to show us grace, to show us mercy. Sometimes what stops that from happening is that we don't even see that we need it. We don't want to see that we still need it. If you are today at a point where you know you're not where God wants you, you're not where you should be, If you've been a Christian for years and it's been kind of dry, like it was for me, by the way, it just felt like, wow, this, what's this all about? It's not hitting me anymore. Well, it could be. If you are like me, it could be that we just lost sight of how much we still need the grace of God. If you are like me today and know that you still need the grace of God, still need God's mercy, let's leave this room today justified. Because he wants to do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, I do thank you that you are willing to show us grace and show us mercy over and over and over again. Lord, you've shown us mercy when we did not even ask for it. You've shown us grace when we didn't know we needed it. You've brought us through things that we probably will never know that you have spared us from. We thank you, Lord, for that. You're the kind of God who gets pleasure out of showing us grace, out of showing us mercy. Lord, that's what we're asking for today. We come to you beating our breast over the sins that we do see in ourselves. Not only the things that we've done in the past, Lord, but things that even now we're still not obeying you. We approach you today, Lord, asking for your mercy, for your grace, to lead us into a deeper and deeper appreciation, realization of, appropriation of your grace in our lives, Father, so that when we interact with those around us, they will not see someone who's morally superior, not see someone who is exalting themselves, but Lord, will see a person who has found, a beggar who has found someone who's given out money. Lord, they will see someone who is hungry and has found food. Not someone who is judgmental, Lord. I pray, Father, that this will happen to us today. In Christ's name we pray.